Lafayette author Sarah Jane Kaufman has written humorous and sometimes cautionary tales celebrating the joys of being single and the misadventures of a single woman. Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, begins his review by reading from the book.
My friends would describe me as a relatively humble individual, but that hasn't always been the case. For most of my life, I've been really full of myself. When you're full of yourself, you feel it's your duty to go out into the world and try to impress people. Unfortunately, when I try to impress people, I usually end up embarrassing myself. This phenomenon occurs most often when I'm trying to impress a member of the opposite sex. Take, for example, the Sunday morning I went to the grocery. As I pulled into a parking space, I noticed an attractive guy pulling his car into the space next to mine. He looked over at me and smiled. Great sign, I thought. I smiled back. He got out of his car and started walking toward the store. I followed a few steps behind him. He turned and smiled at me again. I grinned back, thinking, wow, this is a first. Nobody's ever tried to pick me up at the grocery store before. He turned and waited at the store entrance. I knew he was going to ask me out. Flashing my most seductive smile, I walked toward him, shoulders back and head held high. I couldn't wait to hear his opening line. Unfortunately, it was, "Did you know you have a flat tire?" "Oh, sure. I knew that." And so opens The Misadventures of a Single Woman, the trials, the tribulations, and the humor of life in contemporary modern America. In the wrong hands, or fingers perhaps, since we all type now, these story essays could have been a disaster of cliched, predictable prose. But they're not. Author Sarah Jane Kaufman has provided us with a collection of funny, charming, relatable tales of life's small errors of judgment and surprisingly happy events that, as she tells us at the outset of this book, make us laugh and sometimes make us cry. Now, Ms. Kaufman is a local writer, and it gives me particular pleasure to review her book for that reason and to include her with those great 20th century humorists, Irma Bombeck, Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore, and, dare I say, Hoosier humorists, George Ade, Red Skelton, and, of course, David Letterman. I think Sarah Jane Kaufman shares more than one sly wink as she, too, relates tales based in everyday life. Clearly, she has chosen to see the mirth in life, and as a result, so do we. From chapter to chapter, Ms. Kaufman takes us on a laugh-out-loud journey through her life that takes in dating, as we discovered. She is a single woman after all. And to Kaufman's credit, her choice in men is ever-changing. More, she keeps an open mind when choosing a man to go out with, at least at first. Then there is the wonder of speed dating, the ever-delightful parental visits, the joys of family reunions, that very American experience of neighborly doings, thoughts on the wonders of sharing your life with cats and with flannel shirts, and the rewards of home ownership. Believe me, Kaufman is a clear-eyed observer of all of these things, not to mention a sucker for each of these experiences. Let's read just a little bit from a couple of those. As I said, when it comes to dating, Ms. Kaufman tries to maintain an open mind about the guys that she decides to go out with. And she has a particular revelation in the chapter that she entitles Flannel Shirts, as she writes, "Shirt color was always high on my list of criteria when it came to dating. I dated men in white shirts, not blue. I was such a snob, in fact, that I freaked out when I read that Katharine Hepburn said she enjoyed making Rooster Cogburn with John Wayne. A cowboy? How could someone as classy, sophisticated, and elegant as Katharine Hepburn have agreed to make a movie with a cowboy? Then I had a chance encounter with a cop who stepped into my world of academia. He was well-read, especially in the field of American history. He could build things. He loved to travel. He loved the outdoors. He was sensitive to women's issues. He listened. He had a good relationship with his mother. Everything I wanted in a man, except that he wore a blue shirt. Actually, when he was off duty, he wore flannel shirts. That's what got me hooked. One evening when we were watching TV, I leaned up against his chest to see what it would feel like. It was the first time I'd ever leaned up against a flannel shirt. It was warm and fuzzy and cozy. It felt good. different from a white shirt. You can't cuddle with a white shirt. You either slide off or you have to worry about leaving your makeup on them. But flannel shirts? Darn sexy. When I finally got up the courage to tell one of my equally elitist female friends that I was dating a cop, she confessed she was dating a farmer. You're kidding! Does he wear flannel shirts, I asked. Remember all of our late-night conversation about our standards for dating men. Does he ever, she sighed dreamily. I fell in love with him because of his shirts. Dating a cop expanded my world by leaps and bounds. When I finally came down from my ivory tower, I discovered I'd missed a lot of neat people and missed out on a lot of wonderful things in my life, like the fact that rough hands can be gentle. So, if you've been judging men on the basis of how expensive their ties are, here's some advice. The guy you're looking for may not even wear a tie. He may be dressed in a camouflage jacket and army boots. Katharine Hepburn knew what she was doing the whole time. The chapter about parents visiting is perhaps universal to those of us who have parents who live far away and decide to, you know, drop in once in a while from across the country to see how you're doing. And while she does have six short anecdotes about her favorite or not so favorite parental visits, I want to read part of one in particular for you. It's what Sarah Jane Kaufman has titled Game One, Arriving a Day Early. My parents live in Philadelphia. When they come to visit me in Indiana, they pack their car with so many suitcases, boxes of food, golf clubs, and emergency equipment that the stuff explodes when they open the car doors. The problem, however, is not what they bring. It's their time of arrival. They always arrive a day early. Since I put off getting groceries and cleaning the house until the last minute, they always arrive to a dirty, foodless house. I know. If I know this is going to happen, why don't I prepare earlier for their visits? I did. The last time they visited, I was ready a day early. They arrived 2 days in advance. And finally, let's read just a little bit from a chapter that I know many of you are going to delight in hearing about. She titles it Lessons from My Cats. A guy I was dating, always goes back to dating, of course, a guy I was dating once told me I had to choose between him and my cats. I chose my cats. At the time, my motto was, quote, men are a dime a dozen, but a good cat is hard to find, end quote, which isn't true. All cats are good cats. In any event, now I ask, do you like cats? When I meet someone for the first time, both men and cats have taught me a lot about life. Here are some of the things I've learned from my cats. And she has, once again, many more than with parents. She has 10 different life lessons to learn from cats. I'm going to read the one that is entitled Communication is the Key to Any Good Relationship. Cats thrive on communication. You must talk to a cat. The more you talk to them, the more their personalities emerge, and the closer the two of you will become. I have a friend who doesn't interact with her cat. She says her cat doesn't like to be touched. But when I visit, I get down on the floor, roll the cat out over on her back, rub her tummy, and tell her how beautiful she is. What cat doesn't like to hear that? In his best-selling book, Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell tells of a town in Pennsylvania where the residents lived to ripe old ages without suffering major diseases. The reason? According to the researchers, it's because people talked to each other. During the day, the men talked at work. In the evenings, the families visited with their neighbors. Cats have always known that talking is healthy. Well, I find it interesting that Sarah Jane Kaufman grew up not too far from where that late 20th century humorist of family life, Irma Bombeck, did. Irma Bombeck grew up in Dayton, Ohio. Sarah Jane Kaufman grew up in a suburb of Cleveland, a.k.a. northeastern Ohio. And as I hail from the southwest hills of that same state, I'm kind of proud that such talent hails from the Buckeye State. And at the same time, of course, proud that Ohio continues to rival Indiana with writers and particularly humorists worth taking note of. True, not every story in this collection made me laugh, but that's par for the course with books of humor I found, or for collections of most any nature. Some will hit on spot, some not. But in some, as Kaufman writes, you don't need to be a single woman to enjoy this romp through contemporary life. All you need is a few minutes of your time and an open heart and probably an open mind, so you too can enjoy the funny moments that those not so funny when they happen to you moments occur in your life too. Let's finish with one of Kaufman's sweeter moments, as she remembers her childhood and gives us her recipe for how to get through the worst of times, i.e., remember the best times you ever had. And for Sarah Jane Kaufman, it seems those times were in her childhood. She writes, "When I have a bad day and everything seems to be going wrong, I catch myself wishing I could go home. Not to the home I live in now, but to the house on Clare Avenue, where I grew up with my parents, my brother, and my sister. For just a few hours, I'd like to be a little girl again, without any responsibilities. Here's what I'd do. I'd sit in front of the hot air register in a cold winter morning and soak up all the heat. I'd call my best friend Vicky on our old black telephone with a heavy receiver and giggle all night. I'd spend a day with Travis, my brother's best friend, who quickly became my best friend. Travis spent so much time at our house that when we moved away, we told the buyers that he came with the house. Just once more, I want Kent to give me a ride home from the basketball game where he scored 25 points. I want to pass notes in math class. I want to go to a football game on the pep bus and kiss Jimmy the whole way home. I want to go back to my senior prom. I want my mom to make a bed for me on the couch when I'm sick and treat me like I'm the most important person in the world. I want her to stand nearby and help me learn new things, like she did when I was learning to put my contact lenses in. I want her to make waffles and to praise me when I master a new piece on the piano. I know these are only memories and that I can never really do any of these things again. But when I reminisce, an amazing thing happens. I realize what a beautiful childhood I had and how very, very much I was loved. And that's what gets me through the bad times." These are stories full of humor and full of excitement and full of some of the downtimes too. But overall, what a happy book. The Misadventures of a Single Woman by Sarah Jane Kaufman, posing what looks to me to be in the Hort Park of good old Purdue University. It's a wonderful read, got an interesting cover, and it's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed The Misadventures of a Single Woman by Lafayette author Sarah Jane Kaufman and published by Sunstone Press.